Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All the brahmanas present on that occasion were initiated by Sri Madhavendra Puri into the Vaishnav cult, and Madhavendra Puri engaged them in different types of service. Purport. In the scriptures, it is stated, Sat Karma Nipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada. A qualified brahman must be expert in the occupational duties of a brahman. His duties are mentioned as 6 brahminical engagements. Patan means that the brahmana must be conversant with Vedic scriptures. He must also be able to teach others to study the Vedic literatures. This is patan. He must also be expert in worshipping different deities and in performing Vedic rituals, yajan. On account of this, yajan, the brahmana, being the head of society, performs all the Vedic rituals for kshatriyas, vaishyas and shudras. This is called yajan, assisting others in performing ceremonies. The remaining 2 items are dan and pratigraha. The brahmana accepts all kinds of contributions, pratigraha, from his followers, namely the kshatriyas, vaishyas and shudras. But he does not keep all the money. He keeps only as much as required and gives the balance to others in charity, dana. In order for such a qualified brahmana to worship the deity, he must be a Vaishnav. Thus, the Vaishnav's position is superior to that of the brahmana. This example given by Madhavendra Puri confirms that even though a brahman may be very expert, he cannot become a priest or servitor of the Vishnu Murti unless he is initiated in Vaishnav mantra. After installing the deity of Gopal, Madhavendra Puri initiated all the brahmanas into Vaishnavism. He then allotted the brahmanas different types of service to the deity. From four in the morning until 10 at night, from Mangal Artik to Sian Artik, there must be at least 5 or 6 Brahmins to take care of the deity. 6 Artiks are performed in the temple and food is frequently offered to the deity, and the prasadam is distributed. This is the method of worshipping the deity according to the rules and regulations set by the predecessors. Our sampradaya belongs to the disciplic succession of Madhavendra Puri, who belong to the Madhava sampradaya. We are in the disciplic succession of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is initiated by Sri Ishwara Puri, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri's. Our sampradaya is therefore called the Madhava Gaudiya sampradaya. As such, we must carefully follow in the footsteps of Sri Madhavendra Puri and observe how he installed the deity, the Gopal deity, on top of Govardhan Hill, how he arranged and performed the Annakuta ceremony in only 1 day, and so forth. Our installation of deities in America and in the wealthy countries of Europe should be carried out in terms of Sri Madhavendra Puri's activities. All the servitors of the deity must be strictly qualified as Brahmins and specifically must engage in the Vaishnav custom of offering as much prasadam as possible and distributing it to the devotees who visit the temple to see the Lord. Om Gyanatam Nandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bhangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Vanchakalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Vebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is an amazing chapter. Sri Madhavendra Puri, he's been experiencing some transcendental ecstasies. He went to find what kind of sweet rice is being offered, the deity who actually kept the sweet rice hidden behind the curtain and then informed the pujari in a dream. So that deity is called Gopinath. You know? So that deity is famously known as Kir Chor Gopinath. You know? So yesterday Jai Krishna was telling about some of our pastimes that we did some maha choring, you know. So they used to keep the maha locked up, and he said sometimes we would steal it, you know, and go in the garden and eat it. So then Madhavendra Puri, he got the sandalwood and he was doing all these amazing pastimes. And then Gopal was hidden in the bushes, and he was feeling the heat and the cold, and he wanted Madhavendra Puri to come and take him out from the bushes. And with the help of all the villagers, Madhavendra Puri, he inaugurated a wonderful worship, and he inaugurated an amazing Anakut festival, which was carried out originally in Lord Krishna's time, 5,000 years ago, when Indra, he became a little bit proud and he forgot his position, which he does quite regularly. So he kind of thinking, who is this small boy, you know, this blue boy, you know, and normally the residents of Vrindavana do a big Indra puja, but this time Krishna had convinced Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men and the other residents of Vrindavan that instead of using all the paraphernalia and all the bhoga for doing the Indra puja, then they should actually worship Govardhan Hill, because Govardhan Hill is supplying them with all their ingredients and for everything that they subsist on. And he said that Indra was pouring rain down everywhere, even on the ocean where it's not required. You know? So, so somehow Krishna, as a young boy, managed to convince Nanda Maharaj. At first Nanda Maharaj said, well, can we not do the Indra Yagya, and then we could do your Govardhan, you know, puja as well? So now Krishna said, no, we don't have time. We just have to use all this paraphernalia and all this bhoga and do the Govardhan puja now. So because he's such a charming, sweet boy, and he's very clever and affectionate, so Nanda Maharaj had no choice but to give in. But then Indra became very, became upset. You know? And that says, no, where's my yagya? And then, so then he decides, okay, I'm going to teach this naughty boy a lesson. So then he sent the Samvataka cloud. Or some people call it the somewhat darker cloud, you know. So, of course, Krishna is the color of a fresh rain cloud, and Balaram is the color of a fresh white cloud, you know. So then this Samvataka cloud came and then was like inundating Vrindavan with torrents of rain, and there was lightning and there was all kinds of things. So Indra thought that he's going to sort Krishna out, you know, and teach this boy a lesson and let him know who is the king of heaven, you know. But Krishna wasn't fazed at all, so he wanted to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan, so he lifted up Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand. I think he was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old at that time. 7 years old. So, you know, if you can lift up a big hill with your little finger and hold it up for 7 days or some, then then you can try and compete with God. You know? But so then Krishna lifted the hill, and then he had Sudarshan Chakra also going around the edges, you know, drying up all the torrents of rain that was coming, and he protected the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So eventually Indra tried everything, and then he realized, maybe I made a mistake, you know. So then he approached Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma, he had done a big boo-boo as well earlier. When he had stolen the cowherd boys and put them in a cave, but then Krishna manifested more cowherd boys, exactly the same, you know, So then when Brahma came to see, then he became bewildered. He thought, did I actually take them, or are they still here? So he went to check, but they were still there. So then he got confused. So then he realized, oh, okay, I think this is just a small boy, and I'm, you know, I'm going to be show him that I'm more clever than him. But then Lord Brahma came, but and he offered his prayers and everything. And so what happened is Indra then took advice from Lord Brahma, and he said, well, actually Indra came once, but Krishna wasn't interested. But then he took advice from Lord Brahma, then he came again, but then he put Surabhi cow in front. You know? So then when Krishna saw Surabhi cow, then he felt, you know, much happier and more open to the prayers of Indra. So then Indra put his helmet to the ground, and then he offered beautiful prayers. You know? So, you know, we get puffed up sometimes, you know, but so the demigods also, sometimes they get carried away, you know. The universal administrative authorities. One time I was in the George Harrison garden, and this English couple came, first time to the temple, and I just met them. I was talking to them, and they said that they had been to some other Hindu temples and things, and they asked the priest there, you know, why do you have so many gods, you know? And what, you know, that local priest told them, he said, they said that it confused them even more, you know? So, because it's like, oh, so many gods and this and that, it's going to be confusing. So then I said to them, well, I said, well, let me try and explain to you in a kind of more simple format. I said, so just like in the government, you know, there's many cabinet ministers who are very powerful, you know, the minister for defense, there's the minister for foreign affairs, the minister for home affairs, and a minister for, you know, agriculture, and a minister for this, and they're all, you know, they have many people working under them, they have a lot of power, and they also have a good salary and probably a good pension as well. But they aren't independent, you know. There's a prime minister that they all have to work under, you know. So like that, there are many universal administrative authorities, you know, devatas, demigods, and they have power and many things, but their function is to administer the running of the universe. But actually, they're all functioning under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is like the Prime Minister. And they said, we can understand that, that makes sense, you know. So it's very nice. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about qualified Brahmins. So he said, Madhavendra Puri initiated all the people who were qualified there to take initiation and become Brahmins to serve the deity of Gopal. And Srila Prabhupada, he's explaining that a Brahmin is expert in the occupational duties of a Brahmin. So what are those duties? Can anyone remember from the purport? There are six. Okay, yes. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so it's patan means conversant in Vedic literature, and patan means able to teach others. You know? So that only leaves four now. So any... Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, so yajan, worshipping the deities, you know? And yajan is assisting others in performing ceremonies, you know? And then the other two. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, pratigraha is accepting charity, and dan means to give charity. So Prabhupada makes the point there that he says, like the Brahmins, they are allowed to accept, you know, charity, but they're not meant to hoard it and just accumulate all the money and everything. But the point being made that they take whatever they need, and then they pass it on to others. You know? Mm-hmm. So Of course, in many places, they are so-called Brahmins, you know, like I mentioned last time, I saw this guy with a suit with the Brahmin thread over the top, you know. So he was trying to show that I'm a Brahmin, you know. But some of them, actually, they actually don't follow Brahminical principles, and they're not in knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, but they're just kind of using that position to try and accumulate and wealth, or try and control people, you know. So that's not the type of Brahmins that Prabhupada's talking about here. So then, an interesting point here. So Prabhupada says that a Vaishnava's position is superior to that of a Brahmin. So I wonder why that is. Has anyone got any ideas? Maharaj?
Brahmana is not one who is born in Brahmana family, but one who is trained and has qualities. So Brahmana's supposed to be dvija, get initiated and trained, and then learn scriptures, become vipra.
Yeah.
And after one is very thoroughly knowledgeable, after he becomes realized, he becomes Vaishnava. So Vaishnava is the top level of Brahminical development.
Yeah, thank you so much for explaining in detail. So Srila Prabhupada explains that in this purport that in order to worship Vishnu, one has to be initiated into the Vaishnava mantra. You know? There are many Brahmins, and some of them are doing different types of worship, but to worship Vishnu, according to Srila Prabhupada here, he's saying that one has to be initiated into Vaishnava mantra. And an interesting point Maharaj made, that sometimes there are, you know, like caste Brahmins or people who are kind of born into the Brahmin family. You know, I've met many of those, and you know, we go out preaching, and some of them, yeah, they're okay. Some of them are quite proud, you know. So they say, oh, I'm born in a Brahmin family, you know. And like, but then, so, like Maharaj was explaining that, one can be a Brahmin if he takes the proper study and takes on the proper qualifications, and then he is qualified. So the example is given: if your father, Amit, is your father a surgeon? Is he a surgeon? No. Okay. Let's say if he was a surgeon, if you were born in his family, would you automatically qualify to be a doctor, a surgeon? Yeah, would they take you to the operating theater and say, let you loose on people? Would they? Because your dad was, you were born in the family of a surgeon. No. But you've got a very good opportunity to be a surgeon or a doctor if you have someone in the family that already is. But if you go to study and you take the proper medical doctorate qualifications, then you're perfectly qualified, you see. So in this day and age, if someone wants to be a Brahmin, then it doesn't mean that just because they're born in the family of a Brahmin, they automatically are qualified. It means they have to study, they have to go through all the examinations and qualify themselves, and then perfectly. So somebody who's in knowledge of the Supreme Brahman. You know? Otherwise, one time I met... we were doing shop-to-shop Sankirtan in a place called Wandsworth in South London, and we came across this liquor shop, you know. And then so we said, oh, we're monks from the Hare Krishna temple, we've got some Bhagavad Gita and different books and things. And the man said, oh, I'm knowing all this. He said, I'm knowing, I'm very annoying. You know? So I said, but you know, this is very important scriptures, and you know, if you read a little bit, you can teach your children and this. And he said, no, I'm a Brahmin. He took his Brahmin thread out. You know, said, I'm a Brahmin. You know? So I said, oh, you're a Brahmin, okay? I said, you're running this liquor shop. So he said, I'm not drinking. You know, he said, I'm not drinking. I said, you might not be drinking, but you're making sure everybody else around here is, you know. So he said, oh, Lord Shiva, he drank some bhang, you know. I said, Lord Shiva, he also drank an ocean of poison. You know? I said, So if you want to do what Lord Shiva does, you do everything he does, not only pick and choose. You know, if I give you one drop of poison, you'll be finished. You know? So you meet people like that. So you can buy a Brahmin thread in Loy Bazaar. I don't know. It used to be, I don't know. What's the price, Arun? You don't have one. So it used to be 2 paisa, you know, in the 70s, or I don't know how much it is now. We just get them from Acharya, you know. So, but then, yeah, so if you're adorned, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a Brahmin, you know. So anyway, so those interesting points there. So one cannot be a priest or servitor of Lord Vishnu unless he is initiated into the Vaishnava mantra. So we're coming in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and we carefully follow in the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri all the rules and regulations and the standards that he set. I went to visit one gentleman one time, and he said, I think Nishkinchana Prabhu knows him, he said, oh, why, when I come to the temple, you know, the curtain is shut, you know, and I come a long way, you know, you should be able to see Krishna whenever you want, you know. And then people are coming and they should be able to see Krishna whenever they want. So then I said to him, I said, well, we drove 1 hour to come and see you. And before that, we contacted you and you said to come at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we came at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the reason we did that is we respect you as a person. You know, if I come at midnight, you might not appreciate me coming, you know, or you may have certain things that you are doing, so we come at a time that's convenient to you because you're a person and we want to respect you. I said, similarly, some people, they just plonk a deity there and they use the deity to make money. I said, but we are trying to learn how to serve Krishna. You know, so we're trying to learn how to serve Krishna from the methods that have been followed by great acharyas like Madhavendra Puri and Srila Prabhupada. So they gave certain timings, you know, 6 aartis, you know, certain bhog offerings, you know, and a certain amount of Brahmins have to be there, and certain standards, you know. So, anyway, Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaji Ke, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shishi Gonitai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. So we were just talking about them, so they're very kindly giving darshan. You know? So then I just said to him, I said, you know, you can't just click your fingers and I expect God to jump and just turn up because you've come here. Sometimes rich people, wealthy people come and, you know, say, I'm a millionaire or something, can you just open the curtains? I said, well, if you go to Buckingham Palace, you know, and you say, you know, I've come to see Lizzie, you know. You know, oh, sorry, Elizabeth, yeah, Her Majesty. You know, what will they say to you? They say, go for a walk. You know? But if you've made some appointment, some prior arrangement, or if you know somebody that works there, then you've got a better chance. You know? So then this gentleman, he listened to what I was telling him, and then he went in the next room, then he brought his checkbook, he wrote a check, and then he gave it to Navadvip, he was with me. He gave it to Navadvip, and it was a check for £51,000. And then he pointed to me. He said, "Oh, he's Punjabi. He's fiery." You know? I said, "I don't mind being fiery for £51,000." Anyway, but then that gentleman now he's chanting, reading the books. In fact, he just asked for a whole set of Chaitanya Charitamrita just a few months ago. You know, so you know he's taking to the process and everything. So if we don't compromise our you know teachings for the sake of money or this or that or anything else, but then Krishna will make everything will be work function. They actually respect, you know, if you stick to your standards, they actually respect you. Like some people, sometimes you know, they're doing Harinam, you know, in London, and then you know some people they think, oh, who are these crazy guys, you know, in nappies and they're jumping about, you know, and. But some people you meet, they say that, oh, you know, I'm not like a follower of the Hare Krishna or anything like that. But they said, I I admire their courage and I respect them for standing up for what they believe in. You know? So they earn respect that way. I think it's really amazing that during the lockdown, we have very few devotees who are doing the service of the deity, cooking for the deity, making the garland, all the flower arrangements and doing all the worship. Because normally we have like 50 or 60 initiated Brahmins who are coming in from the congregation or doing all that service. So now it's only a handful of devotees. They're doing like an amazing like seva, because if you see the deities, they look so beautiful, they look so happy, and everything is going on. So I think we really appreciate their devotion, their service, and their sacrifice. In the practices of bhakti, there are five angas that are more prominent. So can anybody tell me those five out of all the different practices? Chanting the holy name. I saw you doing that this morning. And reading Bhagavatam and hearing Bhagavatam, yeah. Yes, sadhu sangha. So, two more. Residing in holy places like Bhaktivedanta Manor. Mm-hmm. And one more. Who's? Oh yeah, I got it. Yeah, that's deity worship. Yeah, so five. Of course, there are so many different activities. I think 64, is it? How many aspects of devotional service? But those five are particularly potent. You know? And serve the deity with love, and serve and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, associate and keep the company of devotees, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and reside in Mathura or a holy place. You know? These are very, very powerful methods, and very quickly one can make rapid advancement on the path of bhakti. And it says, in all five of those practices, one comes into contact with the Lord through his deity, his pastimes, his devotees, his holy name, and his transcendental abode. You know? So it's very, very purifying. And often nine processes of bhakti, Navarupa bhakti, you know, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, and so forth. So who can tell me an example of a devotee who gained perfection in each one of those nine? So I'll just say Shravanam. Anyone put their hand up? You did, yeah. Parikshit Maharaj, okay. Parikshit Maharaj, yeah, okay. And then Kirtanam, Shukadev Goswami, yeah. And then Vishnu Smaranam, Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah, we had Prahlad Maharaj here on Wednesday dancing, you know, very nicely, you know. And I think Hiranyakashipu wasn't too happy about that. So, I mean, he played a very good Hiranyakashipu. So actually, when Krishna wants to fight, you know, either demons are not up to the job, he's got to get his own devotees to play the role, you know. So, and then Pada Sevanam, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Lakshmi Devi, yeah. And then Archanam, worshipping the deity. Prithu Maharaj, well done. And, okay, then Vandanam, offering prayers. Which person? Akrura, yeah. That's it, amazing. Gaura Krishna's getting them all, you know. And, he's the proper Panditji, you know. And then this is an easy one, becoming the servant. Hanuman, executing the orders. Once I was in Vrindavan, and there was an old Brijbasi Mataji. She was in her late 70s or something. And she said, what's the difference between Arjuna and Hanuman? And I said, well, they're both great devotees of the Lord. And she said to me, well, Hanuman, he never flinched in any task he was ever given. You know? He says, You know, Arjuna got a bit mental, you know, but then he got into it afterwards. You know? Of course, that was the Lord's arrangement, so the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken, but she told me that. You know? So, and then Sakyam, becoming the friend. Okay, well, just, I gave it away, didn't I? Arjuna. And then Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything. Now, Arun's been reading about that. Yeah, that's right, yeah. So Bali Maharaj. So those are the nine. So explain that. The nine processes of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, you know, and so on. Any one of these nine processes, if executed properly, can give one complete perfection. You know? So it's like really, really amazing. So such a powerful process, you know. Such an amazingly powerful process, you know. And there's... okay, there's, I'll read one verse I came across, and I think this is from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is 10th canto, chapter 31, text 9. It's a famous verse, I think. Maybe quite a few of the devotees know it. It's the gopis' prayers to Lord Krishna. Tava katam ritam tapta jivanam kavibhir iditam kal... Kalma Mashapam, Shavana Mangalam Srimad Atatam, Bhuvi Grinantiye Bhuri Dajana. So, anyone know that verse? Yeah, you know. It's nectar, actually. It starts off with that. The nectar of your words and your description and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So really powerful. Isn't it? The nectar of your words and descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. And says, these narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. So, I mean, like, that's powerful, you know. So, it's like any one of the nine processes. So, just by hearing, you know, you can gain complete perfection. So, anyway, the gopis are the topmost devotees. So, they are saying that, so they must know the score, you know. So okay, in our Vaishnava teachings, three things are very prominent. Jiva Daya. Cyrus, what does that mean? Jiva Daya. Any volunteers? Yes, compassion for living entities, and then there is Nam Ruchi. Taste for the holy name, yeah. And then what's the third one? Anyone tell me the missing link? Okay, excellent. So these three things. If you get these three, if you develop compassion for living entities, fallen conditioned souls, or whatever. If you can develop that jiva doya, and you can get taste for the holy name Nam Ruchi, and you can develop the mood of service to the Vaishnavas. Then you are made it, you know. And that will help you to perfect your human form of life. So I think so. In the verse, it was saying that like a Brahman and Vaishnava, they are engaged in charity. So Antaranga Prabhu was saying to me that charity means that they actually give to others, you know. They're not there to just take, but they give. So we had many kind of experiences, like on Sankirtan. So when we go out preaching, we're trying to share the nectar of the Lord's name form, qualities, and pastimes with those who are unfortunate and they are suffering in the material world. So that is the type of charity. You're giving the holy name, you're giving transcendental literature, you're giving association, and you're also allowed to accept charity. You know? And so there's a few more verses, but I'll read them later, but I think some of the devotees were asking me to share some Sankirtan pastimes. You know? So I'll try and do that. But before I do that, once there's one story where Srila Prabhupada, he was driving in a car, and he was with Gurudas, not the one in Leicester, the senior Gurudas, the Prabhupada disciple, one of the first six who came to London. So he was with Gurudas, and they were sitting in the back seat, and the car was driving through the city, and Gurudas was looking out the other window, and Srila Prabhupada was just here. And then Gurudas was looking out the window, and he saw, like, you know, how people, they're living and how they're suffering without Krishna consciousness. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, when I see the condition of these fallen souls, you know, how much they're suffering, he said, sometimes I feel like crying. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, sometimes, only sometimes, Gurudas. So it shows like the mood of the pure devotee that he's always, you know, thinking about the welfare of conditioned souls, you know, how to help them. You know? So once, you know, our Neela Madhav, you know, the BMF Neela Madhav, he was out on Harinam with the managers. Every so often, they were getting the managers to go out and do a bit of Harinam Sankirtan, you know, instead of just manage, you know. And then he thought, well, I'll do the books. So I think they were in St. Albans, so he was distributing books while the devotees were doing kirtan. So what happened is he approached one lady, and this English lady, and he said, oh, we're monks, you know, we're just passing out these books on spirituality. So then she looked at him, and she made a face, and she said, why don't you get a proper job? Why don't you get a proper job? So, of course, Neela Madhav, he didn't say anything. He just kind of tolerated it. But what he could have done is he could have given her his card and said, actually, I'm a funeral director, so you can contact me when you need your funeral done. So sometimes when we are out preaching, you know, we meet many different people, and you get many different responses, you know. And one time I was distributing a book in Leicester, and it was near the clock tower in the center of Leicester. And I saw this gentleman. He was in his maybe early 30s, but he had a few scars. He looked a bit rough, you know. And I said, we're monks, you know, we're just passing out these books on spirituality. And these books teach you how to get more out of life than a headache, you know. It looks like you've had quite a few headaches. And you know, it teaches you how to get inner peace, you know. So then he took the book in his hand and he was looking at it, and then you could see he was thinking, and then he gave me the book back. He said, no, I can't take it. And I thought, oh, why can't you take it? He said, I've done too many bad things. So I was thinking, I was praying to Krishna, you know, this gentleman really needs this book. You know, he really, really needs this book. You know, please help me to do something that he takes the book. And then I've never said this before in my life to anyone, but then suddenly came, I said, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So then he thought for a minute, he said, give me the book. So, you know, like, you know, Valmiki wasn't always a saint, you know, or, you know, so many. So he was thinking, I'm too sinful, I've done too many bad things, I can't take this, you know. But then Krishna helped me with the super soul inspired something, and then he thought, oh yeah, actually, no matter what you've done, you can still have opportunity to rectify. You know? So really, really good. So once we were out in Edinburgh doing Sankirtan in Edinburgh with the Scottish Yatra, and we used to get a lot of trouble from police, you know. They used to come and arrest us or throw us out of town and all that kind of stuff. So I think many of you devotees know the devotee in Leicester, Nrsingha Vallabha. Anyone know him? Yeah. So anyway, I traveled with him for 3 years in the motorhome. You know? anyway, he had just joined the temple in Scotland, and he was out doing Sankirtan in Edinburgh, and his name at the time was Bhakta Ian. You know? So what happened is there was this policeman in Edinburgh who really didn't like the devotees, and he was like a detective or something, so he was in plain clothes, you know. He wasn't like a normal, you know, uniform policeman. So I don't know how he managed it, but Bhakta Ian or Nrsingha Vallabha, he managed to get arrested 3 times in one day by the same cop. So after that, you know, the temple president, he told me, look, I've got a motorhome for you here. Get him in there and take him out of Scotland. Take him somewhere, whatever. Go and distribute books somewhere else in England or something. So anyway, me and one other devotee were distributing books in Edinburgh. So Princess Street, has anybody been to Princess Street? Yeah, you've been. Yeah. It's a very long street. I don't know, it's half a mile or 3/4 of a mile long. Very long street. So I thought, well, you know, we don't want any botheration with the police. So we went far end, as far as we could go, you know, while there were still people. So we were distributing books, and then it was going good. And then suddenly the car pulled up, you know, and then we used to nickname him Super Cop, you know. This detective, he came out with his colleague, you know, and he said, right, I've got you now, you know. So he said, I've told you so many times, you know, you're not allowed to do this, you know. You know, you need permission from the council. Get out of town. And so then I said to him, if you don't mind me saying something, we have permission from the council. He said, oh yeah, if you've got permission, I'll eat my shoe. You know. So actually, that was the day that we were allowed 3 days where we could have a permit. So that was one of the days. We pulled the permit out. We showed it to him. So then his friend, I said, go on, then eat your shoe. So he, because he really didn't expect us to have a permit. So then his colleague was there. He said, oh, actually, the reason he doesn't want to eat his shoe is he stood in some dog muck earlier. So Krishna, sometimes he does funny things, you know, like that. These guys sometimes, they give us a lot of trouble, but Krishna, he always gets the upper hand at some point, you know. So it was so funny, the super cop, then he had to like, oh, okay. So the next time, if he approached us, he would be thinking, do they have a license or not? But Krishna's always doing these kind of things. And then there was one newspaper seller in Edinburgh. He was very humble, very kind of simple guy, you know, and he would stand there all day, you know, with his newspaper stand, you know, in the cold or the heat or whatever, all day long, and just sell, you know, I don't know, what's it called, the Edinburgh newspaper, whatever. And so we would have boxes of books that we would be dropped off with, you know, and a bottle of water or something, and we'd be there for 10 hours. So we'd need to find somewhere to keep our box of books. We'd ask in some shops, sometimes they would let us, sometimes they wouldn't. And sometimes we'd ask the newspaper seller, look, you're going to be here all day. Do you mind if you put a box of books and if you look after it for us? And every so often we'll come back. And this guy would say, yeah, no problem. Just put your books here, you know. And then we would speak to him, and every so often we'd bring him a little bit of prasadam once in a while. And for years he did that. He used to look after our books, you know. And we used to just do sankirtan and then go back and, you know, get more books. But then what happened, he was doing that service. So what happened is actually he got so much blessings from looking after the books for the sankirtan devotees and speaking with the sankirtan devotees and taking a little bit of prasadam. This guy, he became a devotee, you know. He even moved to be near the Les Mahego Karuna Bhavan temple. You know? Just nice, such a sweet, simple guy, you know. So powerful, you know. And sometimes we're thinking, like, you know, to give charity and somehow or other give the holy name, give prasadam, give books, you know, give people Krishna consciousness somehow or other, you know, by hook or by crook, you know. So we did the Gauranga campaign in Scotland, and we were, you know, we were don't do this here, otherwise we'll get in trouble. But we were going up on the motorway bridges, you know, and climbing and putting big, like, gorangas, massive, like, signs on the motorway bridges. We thought, well, millions of people are driving, and, you know, they're going to get goranga, you know, they're going to get the holy name. So in Scotland, we asked people to say Hare Krishna, and they were like, Hare Krishna. We say, can you say goranga? And they say, yeah, goranga, goranga. I like the sound of it, goranga, you know. Yeah. So, of course, Lord Gauranga, he is the yoga avatar for this age, you know. And then Lord Nityananda, he says, Baja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gaurangera Namre, Jejan Gauranga Baje, Say Amara Pranare. You know, worship Gauranga, call out Gauranga, take the name of Gauranga. Whoever glorifies and takes the name of Gauranga, he becomes more dear to me than my own life. You know? So we think, if they say Gauranga once, then Lord Nityananda is going to pour the mercy on them. So then, sometimes one time we were in Kent, we were driving to do some businesses, you know, Sankirtan in the businesses. And we were just driving along this street, and we just saw one person just walking on the pavement in the distance. So I said, okay, like, slow down, stop the car, you know, at the end of this person. We unwound the window and said, excuse me, sir, excuse me, could you help us? He said, yeah, are you lost? What is it? I said, we're looking for Gauranga Street. Can you tell us where Gauranga Street is? So he said, Gauranga Street, Gauranga Street, Gauranga. I said, I don't know where Gauranga Street is. I said, okay, do you know where Nithai Close is? Well, he says, oh, Nithai Close. I said, maybe try up there, maybe the second left or something. You know? So we were thinking, I was thinking like, we're driving by, now this person, I don't know how many millions of lifetimes he's been around, that, you know, before he's going to get the opportunity to chant the holy name, you know. So somehow or other, get people to chant, you know, under whatever pretext, you know. So then he get the benediction, you know. So we were doing things like that, you know. We were kind of like, they say, oh, these guys are crazy, you know. But we even had some badges said that we're Gauranga mad, you know. So anyway, we did some kind of, a lot of Gauranga bridges and things. And I stopped one old lady in Dewsbury, and I was selling her a Chant and Be Happy book. So she gave a couple of pounds, and she took a book. And I said, madam, she was about 70. I said, madam, can you say the magic word? She said, what's the magic word? I said, can you say Gauranga? And she said, oh, Gauranga. She said, I know what that means. I said, really? What do you think it means? She said, it means have a safe journey. I said, well, how do you come to that conclusion? She said, it's up on the motorway, isn't it? So, and I stopped a businessman, you know, English businessman in his suit in York. And, you know, he bought like a Science of Self-Realization hardback, and he gave like 5 or 10 pounds or something. And I said, can you say Gauranga? Because we used to get everyone to say Gauranga, whether they gave a donation or not. So at least they, you know, they chant the holy name, you know. We give them something. And then this guy said, Gauranga. He said, Gauranga. He said, that's been doing my head in for the last 6 years. I said, really? How's that? He said, well, every day I drive to work, and it's been on the bridge there, you know, and it's doing my head in because I'm trying to figure out what it is, you know. So then I'm going to tell him. I said, okay, do you want to know what it is? He said, oh, let me guess. He said, is it the name of a company that builds bridges? I said, yeah, Lord Chaitanya builds a bridge over the ocean of birth and death. You know? So, like that, we get many, many different things. And then we were doing door-to-door in Leicester, and this was 1981, and we knocked on this door, and this lady opened the door, and she had a frown. And I said, we're Hare Krishna monks, you know, and from the temple, we're just passing out some books, you know. We've got some Bhagavad Gitas and other books, and got some nice incense and things, you know. And then she's looking at me like that. She said, I'm not interesting. I said, well, that may be the case, but these books are very interesting, you know. She said, I'm not interesting. And then she slammed the door on us. So we knocked on the next door neighbor, you know. And we knocked on the door, and they opened the door. And we said, oh, we tried to speak to your neighbor, but she said that she's not interesting. And she said, yeah, she's the miserable... So and so. So I said, we had these nice books for her. She said, oh, we'll buy the books, don't worry, you know, like that. So we had many different incidents, you know. And then One time we were in Preston, me and the singer Vallabha, we were knocking on this door, and this girl came. She must have been about 16 or something. We said, "We're from Hare Krishna Temple." It was an Indian family. Said, "Can you tell your parents, you know, that we need to speak to them from Hare Krishna Temple?" So she went down the corridor, then she went into the kitchen, and she spoke in Gujarati. Now I'm not a fluent Gujarati speaker, but I could just make out she was saying something. So then she came back and she said, "Oh, her parents are not in." I said, "Okay, can you go and ask them what time they'll be back?" So then she started to go, and then she became really embarrassed. Yes. Anyway, I think, so when you're out on Sankirtan, when you're going out preaching, you're actually, all the Vaishnav teachings, the Brahminical teachings, you're giving them to others, you're making them available, and then jiva doya means that compassion for all the living entities, you're giving them the process of Krishna consciousness, which actually gives them meaning and purpose in life, and connects them with the Supreme Lord, which actually destroys their misery. So, in relationship to that, I know it's going on a bit. Okay, so this is from 1st Canto, Chapter 8, Text 36, Queen Kunti. It's a powerful verse. Srinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshana shana smaranti nandanti tavahitam jana tav eva pashanti chirena tavakam bhava pavo paramam padam bhujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So, like, really powerful. So we're giving people this process of how to be Krishna conscious. And a Brahman, the qualities of a Brahman is like here. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 13 and 14. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukha kshami shantushta satatam yogi yatatma dvida nishaya mai arpita mano buddhir yomad bhakta same priya. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So that's the qualities of a Vaishnava. And I wrote that verse when we were doing the program to honor the life of Shruti Dharma Prabhu, because he embodied those qualities. So I think I'll stop there because I've gone a bit over time. I don't know if we have any time for questions or not. We have, okay. So just before you ask your question, Cyrus, there was a carer that was serving Shruti Prabhu. You might have seen him, Philip, you know, the African professional carer. So I've been keeping in touch with him, and he sent me a message yesterday. So he said, "Hare Krishna Prabhu Godruma," he said, "hope I find you in good health. I would like to take the opportunity to thank you for sending me links and videos of Shruti Dharmas. Yesterday I listened to almost every video of him. Amazing. He was such a genius. The fun thing is, we belong to the same blood group." So Shruti Prabhu, when he went to the hospital, they said, "What blood group are you?" He said, "I'm B positive." So he's saying I'm B positive. And then he said, "You guys had a great president. He has been spinning in my head for the last few days, and I miss him, Haribo." So that was just a professional carer that was there. By serving Shruti Prabhu, he made these people into devotees. You know? So like Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, translating at the Bhagavatam at the time of leaving his body. Shruti Dharma Prabhu, he purified these professional carers who happened to be there, made them devotees. Well, he sang Haribol and everything. Okay, Cyrus.
Yeah, Prabhu. So wonderful class. And And by the way, your question humbled me, Jiva Doi. And it's such an important thing to know. Doi, Jiva, I'm okay with, but yeah. Doi, I went blank on that. So it's important thing. Now I won't forget. So thank you for sharing your Sankirtan memories. And I was just sitting here reflecting and thinking how dynamic this process is. Because you can go out and God knows how many lives you've touched or people you come to know Krishna yeah. or the name of Krishna because of this, because of your involvement and the rest of the team. And also you could come here and inspire us and refresh us with your memories. I'm just to show how dynamic this movement is. And really grateful for that. To share your time, to share the memories and give us the association this way.
I think Srila Prabhupada, you know, if he hadn't stepped on the Jaladuta, I don't think many of us would have had many memorable memories, you know.
all glories to Srila Prabhupada, yeah. But and it doesn't excuse yourself. I'm just...
So on that point, I was just speaking, Anant Gopal came to me yesterday, he said, you did Sankirtan for so many years, and why don't you compile all the Sankirtan stories and the Gauranga stories and things? And I said to him, 2 years ago, Shruti Dhamma Prabhu told me to do that, you know? So I got a kind of a dictaphone or thing, but somehow I wasn't very good at operating it, and then I got busy and stuff. But then I spoke to Nishkinchana Prabhu, so I'm going to start to, you know... He said that the best way is if somebody asks you questions and then they record it and then we get somebody to type it up. Then there's also some of the other Sankirtan boys from Scotland and we asked them all to put something in. Because anyway, it's fine. We had, you know, it was austere. It was performed a lot of sacrifice. We were out in the cold and long days and people were troublesome sometimes. But it was nectar because when you're trying to give Krishna consciousness to others, you make them happy. Krishna becomes happy, you become happy, and it's a win-win. Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Charitamitam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi.